Canada saw some significant food industry and regulatory events in 2024 from both within the country and outside its borders, with many of these expected to continue to impact the industry through 2025. As your TAG Talks host, Lisa Lupo, I am talking today with TAG EVP Regulatory Affairs and TAG Canada Managing Director Cameron Prince for his perspectives on 2024 and expectations for 2025. Welcome, Cam.
Thank you, Lisa. Happy to be here and look forward to 2025 and wish everybody a happy new year. Let's hope it's a good one.
Yes, we are hoping that. So, what are you seeing, or did you see, as having been the most impactful events that have and will impact the Canadian food industry in 2024 and then into 2025?
Yeah, there is a lot of things going on, and no question. And I'll keep my comments on this question restricted to the Canadian focus. Yes. Of course, you know, one of the things that's going to be a theme through, I think, in this is that what happens in the U.S. is very important to what happens in Canada as well. So we'll hopefully we'll get a chance to touch on that because there are a lot of linkages. I think the biggest story in Canada in food safety in 2024 was the Danone co-manufacturer named Jereke, which is in the eastern suburb of Toronto. And of course, they had a listeria problem with plant-based milks, number of deaths associated, many, many illnesses. And this really was it didn't get a lot of immediate attention at first, but it slowly grew through the fall. And quite a bit of outrage has resulted in that amongst consumers. That fire was further fueled by the Globe and Mail doing a major piece of investigative journalism on what happened at Jereke. And bottom line, without going into the details, the plant had not been inspected by CFIA for, depending on how you measure it, but certainly at least a year and a half. Some would say longer. So the question is, how could you have a ready-to-eat food, susceptible to listeria, how could it go that long? And what was uncovered that the CFIA had introduced something a number of years ago. It has a long history. I was part of it way back when it started. And the concept is a really solid one, and that is that you have limited inspection resources, so what's the best way to use those resources? And an algorithm was developed over many years, scientifically based, which looked at risk across all of the food processing facilities, importing as well, and set a basis for a priority system, essentially. Unfortunately, because this was plant-based for whatever reason, I don't know the details, but this plant got on a lower level of risk. Probably shouldn't have, but it did. So when CFIA was asked, well, why didn't you go there? Well, this is where it landed on the risk-based inspection program. And of course, that raised all kinds of questions. A lot of doubt about that system and why would CFIA use such a system? Mm-hmm. So this has led to a considerable, waning of the confidence in the inspection system in Canada. And that's unfortunate, but that's a reality. And I can understand why this has happened. So that was a big, big story. And that will have repercussions. Some of the other things that happened in 24 is climate change has really affected agriculture, particularly in Western Canada. So what around Calgary, Alberta, they call it Feedlot Alley, and that whole area, a tremendous amount of beef, for example, is grown there. And the drought for persistent years of drought after drought after drought has led to the cost of feed for those operations to getting to be prohibitive. And we all see it both in Canada and the US, the price of beef is through the roof. And it's just climate change is a big part of that story. So the other thing, and that's leading into the other big issue, is the cost of food. It's gone up, as some say, in the past few years, 8%. It's significant, and people are really feeling it. There's been a lot of investigation of the grocery store chains in Canada, accusations of gouging, profiteering, etc. And that is driving a lot of media attention. And frankly, the average Canadian citizen is not as feels that they're being misled by the grocery stores, and actually they're taking money out of their pockets. That's the general consensus. So unfortunately, that will continue. The projections are that for 2025, the price of food will continue to go up another 5%. Not quite as precipitous a rise as before, but it's still very significant. So that is driving a lot of concern, and some policy changes. The grocery stores are now having to come under a code of practice, which we have seen in other countries has actually led to a reduction in prices. So fingers crossed, hopefully that code of practice that the government imposed on the groceries will work. Another factor is, and this is related to the whole question of global security and so on, and immigration. It's all across the world. Immigration policy has to change. I think everybody recognizes that in Canada. The number of immigrants coming to Canada, this is not me saying this, this is the government saying that. The housing, the education, the infrastructure is not built to support the number of immigrants. And it's unfortunate because Canada has been a very welcoming country in the past, but there is a certain capacity. And it seems that that's been exceeded, and that's driven the cost of housing up to exorbitant levels across Canada. And that means there already is in place a change in immigration policy. Now, how does that affect the food industry?
Right.
A lot of these recent immigrants are working in the food industry, and there are some would call them loopholes. Student visas, for example, a large number have come here. They work, they arrive, they don't really go to school, some of them, and they start to work. And a lot of them are working in the food industry. There's also the temporary foreign workers program, which has also come under scrutiny and is going to lead to cutbacks. So where does that, that means a difficult labor environment in the food industry, which is very labor intensive, as we know, is going to face further pressure. So I don't know how that's going to work out for the food industry, but it's certainly going to be a pressure in Canada in the coming year. One more, I know I've got this list could be really long, but there's one really, I think, interesting one. And that is that Canada is a leading nation in aquaculture, and it is a big business, both in the Atlantic coast and the BC coast and of the Pacific. And the British Columbia government has decided to proceed with the banning of sea pens for the rearing of salmon. And that is being phased out entirely. That is a huge impact on a big chunk of this aquaculture industry in Canada. So that particular industry, it's going to take a transition period, and nobody knows where it's going to end up. So that is another thing that happened in the past year that's pretty significant. So I'll stop there. There's a lot going on.
Well, and then it sounds like a lot of it is really being impacted by consumers, whether it's consumers not really trusting, or just, you know, the immigration, that's all the consumers and who's going to be working and such. But there's also a lot of things right within the industry itself, like the aquaculture you mentioned, but also like CFIA publishing its 2025 framework to build to the future and looking to do more enforcement in 2025. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, if I get out my crystal ball, I think everything's pointing to more enforcement, as you say, but even more than what was articulated in the CFIA framework for the future. There's no question that the Jariki Listeria issue is going to affect how CFIA approaches things. And although it's anecdotal, I think we're already seeing it, at least in our practice, that we have clients that are now being questioned on things related to Listeria control in their facilities that they've never been questioned on before. Okay. So I think particularly for products that may have a risk of Listeria, we're not only going to see more hard end enforcement, I think we're just going to see a heck of a lot more scrutiny, and companies are going to have to adjust to that and accept it as a reality. Right now, there's a certain amount of kind of denial, pushback. Oh, you know, the CFIA's, this is overkill. Well, the regulator has decided that there's a vulnerability and they're going to take action, and there's not a lot you can do about it. So, yeah. So that's something the industry is going to have to face. I think other than that's CFIA's position, I mean, they are going to be, I think, more aggressive in general and more, and they're under a lot of scrutiny. We'll get into this. I think political factors will have a bearing on that as well, because everything's changing in the U.S. Everything's going to change this year in Canada. So very big political upheaval, and that will have an effect for sure. One of the things that I did want to mention before we move to the next question is that there is a trend toward concentration of ownership within the food industry. I mentioned grocery stores. Essentially, two grocery stores control over half or around half of the market. And then if you extend that number out to five, that's about it. There are not a lot of independent grocers. So that concentration on the grocery side, but also in food processing facilities. Increasingly we're seeing, and there's private equity funding coming into this industry more than we've seen in the past. Some sectors of the food industry are seen as a great investment, but overall, you know, investors have been enamored by the food industry in North America for the last five or so years. That might diminish a bit as you know, there's a lot of factors happening in food that maybe make investors a little weary. Or wary, I should say.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks.
So let's go ahead and move into the political changes. As you said, there's been quite a bit across North America, and they continue to change. But let's go ahead and start with Canada. What do you see as the political repercussions on the food industry from the Canadian changes?
Yeah, it's almost impossible to talk about Canadian politics right now, talking about U.S. politics. Because
okay, go ahead and put them together if that makes it simpler.
We have Mr. Trump coming in and making all kinds of kind of, for Canadians, outrageous statements, taking over Canada, 25% tariffs on day one that he's sworn in. 25% tariffs on Canadian goods going to the U.S. That would, I mean, it's just devastating. I'm not an economist, so I won't go too far down this road, but it would affect the food industry dramatically, because the food industry in Canada exports a huge amount of value of goods to the U.S. The thing that's complicated about this is that there's so much connection, particularly along the northern border. U.S. companies own Canadian companies. Canadian companies own U.S. companies. They're all one company. It just gets very like there is a lot of damage to the U.S. as well as to Canada if this is to be done. You can't simplify it. It's a very complex thing, and the implications are numerous and for a lot of companies. So will Canada survive even if that happens? Absolutely. Canada exports 80% of the food we produce. We've got markets in Asia and Europe, etc. There will be a shifting away from the U.S. if this goes through, and Canadian companies will find new markets. And they, you know, and it'll take a transition period, but it'll work. They've done it before. So this 25% tariff on Canada and Mexico is a bluff or reality or a negotiating position, very hard to say. Way above my pay to speculate any further on that. But yeah, it's going to have an effect if it comes in. So I think it's part of the discussion here. The other thing is that the Canadian dollar has been driven down in value significantly in just since the U.S. election. And that means that the Canadian dollar, the Canadians, goods from the U.S., like leafy greens and so on, that come in the winter when we don't grow them, are going to cost more. So imports of foods from the U.S. are way more expensive, and so we'll be sourcing from other places. But it cuts both ways. It also means that Canadian exports are way cheaper for the U.S. customers. So. Because of the dollar exchange. So it's hard to predict where all this will shake out, but those tariffs are really very threatening. So we're Canada-US relations are in for a very, very rocky period, and it's going to have impacts on the food industry. We can only hope that the rhetoric is way above what happens in reality. That's all we can hope for. Okay, I'll leave it at that.
Okay, so we did talk a bit about consumers and their impact, but also their needs and their demands, the things they want to have, can have a huge impact as well. I know that, chemicals in food has been a big thing lately. What have you seen on that in Canada, and what do you expect to happen there in 2025?
I think Canada on some of these things is behind the US in the sense of timing and concerns rising. Definitely chemicals in food have always been a concern and continue to be. And we've seen an increase in that in the past year. So I predict that concern about chemicals in foods is going to increase in Canada in 2025, and there's going to be a call for more controls. And I keep harping comparing to the U.S., but I mean that seems to be way things are going in the new regime of the U.S. as well. So I think definitely chemicals, particularly heavy metals. Canada has a history of some very unfortunate things happening with particularly fish and mercury and so on. So it's top of mind for lots of folks, for sure.
So if we kind of take a step back here and see if we can look at the positives. So what did go well in the food industry in 2025? And are there any things that we can really kind of look forward to in 2025?
I think looking at the food industry and how they're responding and evolving and growing in food safety, I see encouraging signs.
Okay, good.
I see food safety culture was an idea that people talked about, and it became kind of a buzzword 5 or 6 years ago. But now we're actually seeing companies taking on food safety culture and committing to it. Now, for some companies, there's still a long way to go on that voyage. larger companies that have more money are able to invest in it, but even small companies are talking about it now. And we've had an opportunity to help some companies in doing some assessments and making some recommendations and invest, you know, help them assess where their food safety culture is. I think so the signs are good, I think, in that regard, that we're, and food safety culture is the fundamental of food safety. That's how you get good food safety outcomes. You can talk about government inspection. You can talk about, you know, regulatory controls and so on, but it's the person in the plant that's looking after things and their awareness. At the end of the day, that has more impact of food safety in the big picture in the end. Okay. So, yeah. And the other thing I wanted to mention,
yes,
it's a regulatory thing, but the front of package labeling initiative by Health Canada is rolling out. It's certainly, from a consumer standpoint, it is a great innovation. And so I think that that's good. We're already seeing labels with those front of package symbols for if it's a food is high in sugar, fat, sodium, then it's identified right up front on the label. So that's a good thing. I mean, it was resisted by some sectors in the food industry, but there seems to be general acceptance of it and consumers like it. So I think that's a really good thing.
Okay. So if we look back kind of all this that we've discussed, are there any kind of really key areas which you think the food industry, the folks in the food industry should really try to focus on to stay ahead of consumer demand, consumer issues, federal regulation, foreign trade, all these things we've talked about? What should the industry be trying to do?
Well, there's a long list, but I'll stick to a couple of key things. One of them is, we're going to hear a lot more about this, is that the Ozempics and the Wegovy drugs of the world, their uptake in the population is increasing. They say 30% in the U.S., 70% is predicted in 5 years. And people that are taking those foods or those medicines, are their food choices are changing. And because they're going for less processed products, fresh products, fruits and vegetables. So what people buy, I mean, this is having a big impact in the food industry across the world. So, right. So that is something that a company in Canada or anywhere needs to think about. If they're producing highly processed foods that just aren't going to appeal to people on those medicines, they're going to have to pivot and adjust. And this is already happening in the food industry. One of the important things, though, I think really, really important, and that has to do with internal audit of food processing facilities. What has happened with the Global Food Safety Initiative standards is that companies are getting audit results, and they're relying on those audit results as being a realistic picture of what's happening in their plant. And unfortunately, people are coming to realize that 96 score that you got in SQF doesn't mean that the plant is completely compliant and that there aren't food safety risks. And the reason for that is that these are snapshot audits.
Okay.
And the auditor comes in for a day or so. There are surprise audits, but still the company knows the window when the auditor's coming. They're very well prepared. I'm not saying that companies hide things, but they certainly prepare things for a better outcome on the audit. And you get higher scores. And sometimes the issues in a plant are not identified. So be that as it may, that's still a very good system, and it helps a lot. And it's way better than what we had before. But it seems that the answer to this really is for companies to take this on themselves. And what we're seeing is that there are companies that we're, some of our clients, the food safety leaders in these companies are, have come to us and said, I'm not so sure about what I'm getting as results on my audits. Yes, it's nice to have that high score, but are we really in good condition or good shape? Can I be confident? How do I know that my internal audit team is doing a good job? So there, we're seeing a trend that companies are trying to, they're looking at themselves and saying, we've got to really evaluate how we're doing. Because the costs of these problems in food companies can be devastating and actually end up in companies closing out entirely. And so the consequences are very fundamental. So there's an increasing look at getting internal audit done in a better way. And that way companies know what's going on. They find it, they know where to look. And if there's good support from the senior management, then you can correct problems before they become problems. And it's just something that I think we're going to see a trend that more and more stronger internal audit. And this is something that we at the Atchison Group are strongly advocating and have worked with a number of companies to try to support them in that initiative.
Right. All right. Well, really want to thank you, Cam. Quite a lot went down in 2024 in the Canadian food industry, and we can predict 25 to be just as eventful. But kind of like the weather, I think it's likely to change just as you think you know what's coming.
Exactly.
So really good to be prepared, have your internal audits, some of the other suggestions that Cam made, really is going to be important in 2025. So I'd really like to thank you for sharing your expert perspectives and your forecasts, and thank all our listeners for listening in. And to ensure you don't miss any episodes of Tag Talks Food Safety, be sure to like, follow, or subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or whatever is your favorite podcast platform. Thank you again.
Thank you.